If y'all would, if you have your scriptures, let's go to Psalm 34:8. Everyone knows this scripture, probably has quoted this thing many, many times. We are, like I said, we are in the 11th month. So that's why I was saying Passover will be here before we know it. And also, this month is called Sivat. And in Zechariah, you don't have to go here, but Zechariah 1:7, it names that month in there. So by going to that name, I just thought that it was interesting that that name is comparable to Sevet, S-H-E-V-E-T, and that means branch, rod, scepter, staff, tribe. So with that, I want to read the scripture, and then I want to talk a little bit about almond trees because of what happens in Israel, because the almond trees, I believe, are probably the first, which is this month, believe it or not, coming up. They're starting to bud. They're starting to flower. Now, I know that Arnold and Pam has been in Israel with the grapes and in harvests, so you can help me with that. But I think that is the almonds is some of the things that they talk about that's starting to bud right now. And so what we're seeing is now we're starting to, we're not out yet, but we will start coming out of this dark side of this cycle, and we will start heading into resurrection life. And life is starting to spring forth and all of that. And this is what the Father. So with the scripture, it says this. It says, "Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Now, if you'll just hang on, you'll see, because we're going to get to some of the taste and the see part. Amen. So taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. It is important that he is our refuge. Because he's our shield, our buckler. He's the one that he goes before us. He's our rear guard. And we have to be very mindful. But there's something in this when it says taste and see. Taste and see is action. That means I have to taste and I have to see. And he's inviting us to do this. Because there's people out there, the false prophets, are asking you also to not taste and see, but just trust them that they got this. But you can't do that. You have to taste. Now, Tammy cannot smell, okay? Don't you say yes, because you can't smell. But she cannot smell. So if she drinks milk, she usually will get me to do what for it? To smell it. Why? See if it's sour. But she can taste. But where are the taste buds? Way in the back where it's too late to get it back up once it starts down the hatch. If you really know, because most of us, we think that when we put something on our tongue, we're tasting it. You're smelling it. The aroma and all of that. You know, Hannah, when she was little, when you'd go give her something, I'd give her something, she'd put it on her lip. I said, what is she doing? What she's doing, she's smelling it. Her texture. Because the thing, yeah, texture. But in Tammy's case, with what she's got, the taste buds being back here, so, okay, you can't taste it. Okay, she can't taste it either. So she's double bad. But usually some people that, like Dr. Cade, yeah, Dr. Cade, he can't smell, but he can taste. Because I would do that for him when we would go hunting together. So I was just thinking about this taste and see. So you see that really and truly taste is really important part of one of our senses. Also seeing. But the biggest thing is this. When it talks about fruit. Think about this. Now, if I show you an apple and I show you a rotten apple, you'll probably be able to see the difference. But an avocado, you can't tell until you mash it. Because an avocado looks like an avocado until you grab it. It can be really hard or it can be really mushy. But you can't see. You have to feel it or you have to use your other senses. What I'm getting at is this, is the Father spiritually wants us to use all of our senses to be able to discern what's happening in this day and time. Amen? And that's the key of taste and see. The Father is telling us, when His Word tells us, let me say this. Now, I may get this wrong. We were talking about this at breakfast. There is a virus that's going around right now, correct? And it's that coronavirus. Is that how you say it? It's something like that, coronavirus, right? Okay, corona, okay. So here's a virus, but this virus comes from what? An animal. And there was something called bird flu. Comes from a what? comes from an animal. And we got to thinking about this. Usually, now there was another disease that was called mad cow disease. But have you ever noticed that if you eat the cow, it doesn't affect the human? But the cow is not an unclean animal. But these other animals that's causing these viruses are unclean. Have you ever thought about that? And so we were trying to make some connections. I don't know how many. When the Father tells you in His Word, this is what is food for you, this is what you eat. And when this is not food for you, you don't eat this. But man will say, you know what, I'll eat it anyway. And the next thing you know, from our seafood industry, because we live here in the South, shrimp, iodine, and all these things, oysters, and all of this stuff that causes problems with people. So I just really wanted to relate that to taste and see. When the Father tells you in His Word, this is what you do and this is what you don't do, don't argue. But we are a people that likes to argue because we want what we want, we want to eat what we want, and we want to do what we want to do. And He's telling you, if you taste and see that He is good, you're blessed, and you will take refuge. But if you take your own way, forget the refuge part and forget the blessings. See, we want the blessings and the refuge, but we want to taste and see what we want to taste and see. We want to eat, we want to spiritually eat, or we want to physically eat and do what we want to do. And the Father's saying that doesn't work. We have to totally, totally rely on Him. And especially in these last times, we're definitely going to have to get our spiritual antennas going. Because what is really good? Because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of trees that you can look at, and you'll say, that's a pretty tree, that's a pretty flower, and it's giving off some kind of fruit. But maybe some things might be poisonous, and it's not good just because it's pretty. Amen? So that's what I wanted to go to in that portion of that scripture. But I wanted to read about almonds. I'm going to read this little thing here. I don't know where I got it from. But it said, almond buds and blossoms are associated with authority. And it said, in Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed overnight, fully ripe almonds after Korah's rebellion and consequent plague upon his people. So in Numbers 16 and 17, we see that in Scripture, a lot of times almonds are associated with authority. And so what is the very first thing that buds usually in Israel? It's the almonds. And it shows authority. And I just thought that was very interesting, because I'm not going to read all of this. But the golden lampstand, what does the golden lampstand, what does it have? Almond, yes. Has little buds, it has flowers, and it has bowls, and yet it gives seven lights, and in the holies of holy, or in the holy place, that light is what gives light in the holy place. Amen? And so you see authority, light, how all of that plays together. Taste and see that He is good. And only the priest, and we're going to be talking about this. We started, yesterday. But in the holy place, Peter says that we are a kingdom of what? Priest. If we're a kingdom of priests, because Israel, all Israel, they didn't go into the holy place. They went into the very part of the outer court. They brought their offering. The priests are the ones that offered it on the brazen altar. The priest took the blood. The priest did everything. They went and did the washing. The priests were the ones. We have that right now as priests to be able to go into the holy place. Amen. And to be able to minister spiritually like the priest did. But we have to do it His way. And so as we're going to go through this tabernacle, and as we were going to, as I was looking at this almond and what these almonds are about, authority, what did He tell His disciples? Yahweh gave Him what? All authority. And now I'm giving you this authority that you can be able to speak to a mountain to be moved, and it will be moved. But yet, we have to do it His way. And that's what we were talking about as a whole, as the church as a whole or Christianity as a whole. I'm talking Hebrews and everybody as a whole. Just really doing it His way. Really, I guess I'm just trying to say that I'm trying to get myself back to square one. Because sometimes, because we've been through from Baptist to Assembly of God to Charismatic, we've been through so many things, and even in Hebrew Roots, The Father is really, I think, what He's doing, is what I'm trying to say, is He's trying to fine-tune us. It's one thing to be able to come in, but you got to do it the right way. And so I think He's trying to fine-tune us to get us to a place in our life to where it's really, if the power is going to move through His people, we need to be doing it right, especially if we know to do right. Amen? But I really believe that the Father is trying to fine-tune us to where we just don't get lazy and think just because we're part of Hebrew Roots or we're part of whatever, that we can just slide in on this. You know what I mean? There's work to be done. So anyway, with that, Jeremiah said this. You don't have to turn there, but it's Jeremiah 1:11 and 12. It says, "The word of Yahweh came to me saying, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And he said, 'I see a rod of an almond tree.' And then Yahweh said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to do what? To perform it.'" So when you see also this almond tree is associated with this word watching. When you look at the Greek, when you look at the Hebrew from it, it means watching. He is watching over His word to perform it. But this is what He's not doing. He's not watching over what I think His word says and perform it. He's watching over His word to perform it. So when I get into what He's doing, then naturally I'm in the flow of things, amen, because He's watching over His word, and if I'm in that flow, then He's watching over me. This is that taste and see that He is good, and I will have refuge in Him. But if I'm doing my own thing and calling it God, He's not obligated to watch over me in refuge. He's obligated to spank my hiney, to bring me back to where I need to be, Terry. Amen? That's just putting it tight and right, but that's what it's there for. So anyway, taste and see. So here again, as this month is the 11th month, and then we'll have one more month, preparation is everything. And here again, I'm even seeing more and more about being prepared for Passover. I told you yesterday, when I heard Elisa say this, I just really internalized this. When I'm sitting at Passover, and I'm going through the Seder, and when I'm going through the week of unleavened bread, I need to visualize I'm there. I need to internalize this, that I am there, that this is me, because I was in the loins. You, every one of us in here was in the loins of Abraham. So was Yeshua. So Moses was there, we're there. If we can't make it real to our lives, and I believe this about His cycles, I believe this about Shabbat, and I believe this about His cycles, we don't take it serious, then we miss what He's trying to teach us. That was one thing her dad taught me, and I learned this, and I have physically experienced this. If you miss it, you'll go around the mountain again, because you're never going to go past this point until you walk through and you conquer or you learn what you need to learn at this stage and step in the process. And if you don't, then guess what? He will let you wander in the wilderness like Israel did until that time comes back around, and you have lost precious time when we don't have precious time to lose. Amen? And I think as the older we get, the more we realize what's going on. You young people, I'm telling you, you know, be very serious about your calling and your life calling. Because when you start whatever the Father has called you, when you can start off right, by the time you're about, when you're in your 30s and all of that, you're going to be so much further ahead of the ball game than most people getting to their 40 and they're starting all over again because they missed their calling to start with. Because they just got into something because they thought this was just something good to do. They didn't take it serious. Find out what the Father is calling you to do when you're young. Whatever is according to your bent. That's what Proverbs is saying. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in according to his bent. Whatever that calling is. Look, everybody in here is not going to be a doctor. So if you know you're not going to be a doctor and you don't have what it takes here, you may have what it takes here. Casey can tell you. They can tell you. that when you go to school, you may have what it takes here to be a doctor. But if you don't have the intellect to be able to pass these 24-hour tests that they take, you know what I mean, to be able to get by that, then realize, you know what, I'm not going to be a doctor, but I may be a nurse, I may be something else this there. But just know that in your life, taste and see that the Father's good, because He is wanting, this is a many-membered body, and we all have skill sets that He gives us. That's also about what He's telling us, especially the young people. So in this tonight, it's not just about me and my age. It's about you, no matter how old you are, especially you young ones, this in your 13 on up to your getting ready to get out and get a job. Know what your skills, what is your calling? Be praying. And parents, be active in your children's life to help guide them in that. Because that is very, very, very important. Amen? So that's what I had, is taste and see that He is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. I want to be blessed, and I want you to be blessed.
Just quickly to share, Mark touched on, I just felt prompted to go to chapter 17 in Numbers and thinking about authority connecting to almonds. We have this double A going on. I like to connect things so I can remember throughout the month. But that was actually what they were challenging. What's so interesting and so curious to me that in Exodus, when the menorah was given to be designed, Genesis, Exodus, yeah, in the tabernacle, when He put the almond blossoms and buds and all of that on there, and then what was it when the rebellion of Korah happened? Every one of them were challenging what? Whose authority was ruling at the time? So when the authority, which is what you mentioned tonight, is challenged, then what does He do? He gives every one of the tribes a rod and says, the one that blossoms, we're going to show everybody has equal opportunity here. And again, your grumbling, I mean, Moshe said, get you and your stuff away from here, and Yahweh, if Yahweh does something that's never been done before, you'll know it's Him. The earthquakes swallows up everything, everybody, woman and child and stuff was taken. And if you were near that, you went too. The next day, it said they grumbled against who? Moses. But when you go on into 17, Moses, Yahweh has given Moses instruction of what to do with his rod, because I'm going to put a stop to this grumbling against me. Because when they grumbled against the authority, they were grumbling against Him. We gotta get this so we know in our homes, in our families, children, young people, teenagers, listen, your parents are your authority. And it's important that you understand that the more you submit to the authority of your parents and trust the Father to direct them, blessings are going to come. And you will know what you're supposed to do, and you don't have to go to the school of hard knocks on that. We can learn from our brethren, and we can learn from these scriptures what not to do. But it's interesting that when the authority was challenged, what did He say? The rod that buds is the one the Father chooses. What did it bud? Exactly. Listen to what it said. Now, on the next day, Moshe went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds the next day. That's a miracle, number one. Every phase, Arnold, of agricultural steps happened overnight in a day on that rod, right? Every step all the way to the fruit. If you had one little doubt that I've chosen them, let it be dispelled, because all four steps were done the next day.
Almonds are the first to bloom and the very last to harvest. I don't know what all that significance is, but it was there.
Passover's where it starts. Sukkot is where it ends, right? The first last to harvest, and the first. That's not a coincidence. Mark has said 1,000 times, how we start the feast determines how we end the feast. But if we can understand The principle of authority in on every level, on every home front, regardless, but this is our authority. And we at this congregation, people individually and collectively, we've had to stand for this whole word when it's tried to take away the authority of this word. Wrote about it today. It is our constitution that governs us. This is it. It is the constitution that our constitution was based on. So the almond produced the blossoms and the rod. Then Moses then brought out all the rods from the presence of Yahweh to all the sons of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. But Yahweh said to Moses, put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put an end to their grumblings against me so that they will not die. He didn't do that because he hates them. He did that because he loves them. We have ZZO to remind us, I don't want to kill you for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. That was the first incarceration in the Bible. I don't want to do that. I'm going to give you something so you don't forget, because I love you and I don't want you to mess up. I'm going to put Aaron's rod up here as a testimony so you quit forgetting who I've chosen to lead you. Now follow him. And what did they do? They guarded the Torah. They taught the Torah. We are too. And Mark said yesterday, and we talked about this in Torah study yesterday. I said, you know, when Mark emphasized in the teaching yesterday, but I said today, that he feels such a compelling, I'm trying to remember the exact word. I did remember it yesterday. The exact word he used, almost conviction that we have to be prepared this year. And that it's a pivotal year. It's a pivotal year, not only on the United States front, but it's a pivotal year in the world, really. It really is, like Mark has said many times, and he doesn't cry wolf. That's not his personality. He's not a sensationalist. That we used to say, the time is coming, the time is coming, the time is coming. The time isn't coming. The time is here. And he is, in the years of plenty, he is preparing us, spirit, soul, and body, in the natural and in the spiritual. He is preparing us in these years of plenty, in the good years of the fat cows, if you will, because the lean cow days are coming. So we have to be ready, and we don't want to be at the last minute, you know, doing our own thing all through this time, eat, drink, marry, and like they did in the days of Noah, and then all of a sudden it's here. And you fight in the hands trying to feed you. Get on the ark. I don't want to get on the ark. Once that door closes, you ain't getting in. I ain't getting in. We want to be able to hear. And that me becoming we, everything is, Jody and I were talking, but this is nationwide and some international. People really, Douglas has said it in his last few teachings, alluded and said it. Douglas, they're sick of information, aren't they? Are we, like, sick of information? We're not really, we are, but we're not interested in knowing all the wow factors of the word. We want to know, how do we live this out in our everyday life? How do we resolve conflict, let go of bitterness, have compassion, how not to have misplaced compassion, how to understand the justice of Elohim? How do we, dot, you fill in the blank. How do we do that? That is what's coming to the forefront. Now, we're in a transition mode as a group of believers. I don't mean just at ROL. I'm talking about worldwide. People, you know what they'll tell you, Hebrew Roots teachers? They aren't selling DVDs. They are not selling DVDs. Why? We're sick of information. We need inspiration. We need to be inspired. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Messiah. Like he said that several times to different congregations. I'm like, I would never feel confident to say that. He did. He knew. He had a face-to-face encounter with the Messiah. He knew that Torah frontwards and backwards, and he had divine revelation what it meant. So you know what? He had the confidence to say, get in, follow me, we're going. We're going forward. We're not going back to that system. I know what it means, and I want to tell you what it means. That's what he basically is saying. I had all the traditional stuff that we didn't keep the commandments. We avoided commandments to keep these traditions. But he's getting us back to know, we got to know how to think, not just be told what to think. How I love watching Steve and Hannah with their kids. This isn't tooting horns. I would say this if they weren't our kids. They teach their kids how to think, how to process. What does the Bible say about this? And they have to answer. If they can't answer it, he tells them what the answer is. So the next time they know. I love when one's late coming into the house. Everybody else is there, and you ask them where they are. I had to get alone with God. I had an attitude today. I don't like being like that. It's just the kid saying this to me. How many adults do that? I'll be back, Mark. I'm going to go get alone with the Father because I've had a bad attitude. No, you get alone with the Father. You've had a bad attitude today. All that to say is this. I do believe with my whole heart, I know that there's hungry hearts here and there are people here. We want to do it right. I don't mean perfect. I mean, we just want to do it right. And we are asking him, I don't mean just Mark and me, we are a group of people that are asking him, how do you want us to live our lives? How do you want us to get free from bitterness, anger? How do we get transformed? If, I promise you, I've seen it, I've experienced it in my life, and I'm not being dramatic because I just want to be drama queen up here. I'm telling you, I am so passionate about this because I have physically walked this out. Inquire of him, he will see to it. If we inquire of him and we don't care what the answer is and we don't care how we have to get there, he will answer it. And then you just stand there going, thank you so much that you actually hear. You know he hears, but when you see it like literally just happen before your eyes and you're like, you are real and I believe. He's going to build our faith 100%. He's going to get us where we need to be if we stay in the ship. We've got to be all in. I say this all the time, and I'm going to close with this. When Yeshua's disciples asked their rabbi, who is our rabbi, how do we pray? Because in their day, and it's no different today, you want to do everything exactly like your rabbi. You prayed like your rabbi. You inflected your messages like your rabbi. In that day and in this day, it's no different. So when they said, how do we pray? Because everybody had their thing, their way. Our Father. He didn't say, pray your Father, which art our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. In other words, praise you. You as a group, pray and magnify and glorify his name. Hallowed be thy name. Your will be done. What am I leaving out? Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, don't pray, give me this day my daily bread. Give us our daily bread. What else? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses. If we can, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Why? Because we're not designed to do it alone. Look, if I die before he comes, please put on my tombstone, we are not designed to do it alone. Really and truly, that is such a passion of mine. We're not designed to do it alone. Do y'all get it, though? You know what I'm saying? Think, yes, Nancy?
Today, I had the opportunity to cry out to the Father. I had a patient who was, her O2 sats were dropping low. And so I had to get a BiPAP machine on her and get her cranked up and call respiratory therapy to come help me because I didn't want to send her to the ER. Couldn't get her over there in time. So Nope. And the lady that comes in and plays the piano on Sunday morning and sings hymns and does a Sunday school class came into this lady's room at that time. And I told her I was having trouble getting her O2 sets up. And we were busy, you know. She said, okay, I'll pray for her. And I said, let's pray together. So I just grabbed her hand. I said, Father, we need some help right now. Had my eyes closed. Her O2 sets were like 82. When I opened my eyes, they were 90. And that's good. Anything 90 and above is good. And when I left, she was at 96. So that was great. And I thank the Father for that.
No coincidence. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So I feel, in summary, that our word is to understand it is, oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. This is our authority. Every time you eat an almond, buy some almonds. Buy some almonds. It's good protein. Don't eat too many at one time. It'll hurt your stomach, but eat a few, six a day. It's good for anti-aging, too. So this is our authority. Think about the almond and taste and see that he is good, because I'm going to tell you this. One more. I'm going to do like my daddy. I got three closings. I got my wheels down. I'm going to touch down. If it's Romans, they did not retain him, though they did not retain Elohim in their knowledge, nor did they have a grateful heart. He turned them over to a reprobate mind. So let's have a grateful heart. And here's my point. When you said, oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good, if we have a grateful heart, we'll taste it. We'll see it, because we'll see him in everything that goes on in our life. And that's what he wants us to do. See me and taste me in every area of life. So when you eat your almonds that you're going to buy after this is over, remember Psalm 34 and say, oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. He is chosen by the almond. The testimony is, that's the authority that we're to stay under. Amen.